Well, good morning. And good morning to our online audience at Here's Hope. And we certainly want to say we miss Pastor James and Kim. And so wherever you are, we hope that if you're watching right now, we just miss you so much. And just thank you for the opportunity to minister to Here's Hope on this morning. I want to say thank you to all the Everlasting Dominion Fellowship former members that have come this morning. Can you put your hands together for them? I am so glad that you came out to hear me as well. And last but not least, my beautiful family here and my beautiful wife who's just been battling, and I just appreciate her so much, just watching her grow in Christ, and yet we grow even as a couple. So I just am grateful for her, my beautiful daughter, and Autumn being here with us on this morning. And so without further ado, we've talked about everybody else. Can we talk about Jesus for a little while? All right. I know that this is Father's Day, and so happy Father's Day to all the fathers. And, you know, one of the things that's always difficult when you minister, and that are what we would call theme messages, because theme messages are difficult because you really only get a couple of good ones, and then you want to try to use them over and over and over because they work so well with the particular celebration. But I recognize this because not only what has happened in my own life, but in just dealing with other people, like even Mother's Day. Mother's Day doesn't mean the same for everyone. It just doesn't. I can really attest to that, because Mother's Day, since my mom passed away, has never been the same for me as other Mother's Days that happened before that. And so Father's Day becomes a really difficult subject, because a lot of times, the majority of the time, if there's an absentee parent, it is generally the father. I do realize that it can happen the other way around, but a lot of times it is this father that becomes absent, or we begin to try to compare our Father in heaven to maybe even good fathers that we see on this earth. But the truth is, no one can compare to your Father in heaven. Even if, now, good fathers is a good thing to have. Good mothers are a great thing to have. And they are supposed to be really the test with the eye that you're supposed to use as you deal with your Father in heaven. But I want you to know something. Your mother, your grandma, your auntie, your uncle, your cousin does not love you more than your Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. None of them will love you more. None of them will stick closer to you than a brother. I love my children, but you know what? They have some limitations. I just need you to understand that. There are limitations. You say, there's no limitations on your children. Oh, yes, there's some limitations. I don't want to get into the horrific things that could happen to make you say, oh, yeah, there's a limitation. But there is a limitation with everyone that we know, if we're honest with ourselves. But there is no limitation when it comes to God. And so I want to talk to you today about a father, and I just also want to talk to you about being a valet. And so one of the deals that I need to share with you is that, you know, when we start talking about this concept of a father, it is hard to know a father that you don't really know. I know, I just messed you up. It's hard to know a father you don't really know. Now, for some of you saying, well, how do I get to know him? Read your Bible other than coming to church. How do I get to know him? Make sure that you don't just worship when you come to church. You say, how will I get to know him? You know, we've had a couple times of prayer time before I got up here, and I would tell you, don't just have prayer time at church or your favorite prayer, God kiss it, devil miss it, before you eat. All right? I mean, these are the ways to get to know who your Father is. And most people in our churches or most believers do not know him. And the reason why they do not know him is because they do not take the appropriate steps to get a better relationship with him. If you go to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, the 8th and the 9th verse, here's one of the reasons why you should get to know him. Because whether you know him really well or not right now, I can tell you this, one day you're gonna need him. Because something's going to happen in your life where you are going to just absolutely, positively need him. And this is what should happen when you need him the most. It says, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. Do you understand what he's saying? He is like, things have happened so bad in our lives, we didn't think we could make it. How many of you have ever had that? I don't think I can make it. Not one more day. That's right. That's right. So that's what happened. He said, beyond my ability to endure. And we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, we stopped relying on who? Ourselves. And learn to rely only on God. You're going to have to make a decision today. The decision that you have to make today is, I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what's coming. But you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to stop relying on me? And am I going to rely on my Father? Can we pray right there? Father, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for leading and guiding us to it. And I just ask, Lord, that you just begin to speak to our hearts, even those that are watching online, that they will see that relying on ourselves is fruitless. It's frugal. It won't work. But relying on a real Father that cares, that knows, is the best answer for all of us. And so, Father, I just ask that you just use our word today and your word today that will change us so that we'll never be the same again. Touch our hearts, our minds, and our spirit. And if there would be someone here that doesn't know you, even out on the online areas that don't know you, that, Lord, that they will connect with someone that will lead and guide you closer to their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as well. We thank you for that. And these are all blessings in Jesus' name. Would everyone say amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to share with you a story, and it comes out of the book of Mark. And I just want to walk through this. One of the things that you'll learn about me is I'm just going to walk you through this really quickly, and I promise you I won't be all day. But Mark, the second chapter, the first and the second verse, it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, several days later, the news spread quickly he was back home. Soon the house that he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even on the outside of the door, while he was preaching God's word to him. Remember, if you remember, I gave you a little example of valet parking. And in valet parking, the beautiful thing about if you go up into valet parking, they don't tell you how junky your car has to be for them to park it. That's the beautiful thing about valet parking. When you show up for valet parking, you can pull up in a Lamborghini or you can pull up in a jalopy and they still got to park the car. That's the same way that God operates in your life. I know some of y'all think you're that car on the left, my right, but I'm here to let you know, no, you that jalopy, you that rusted out car that was messed up, and no matter what, how messed up you've been, your Father in heaven said, I got an answer for you. Not only do I have an answer for you, I still love you. So it is, come on, everybody say, come on, come on. That's the one thing about your Father. It is always a come on, overcome all circumstance. If you would go to my next scripture, please. And it says that some men came carrying a paralyzed man. Now, I want to take a little detour right here, because if you're an unbeliever, this scripture is not for you. But if you're a believer, this scripture is for you. And it says they were carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some of the tiles. One of the things that you need to understand about valet parking, it generally is going to cost you something. And I'm here to let you know that if you walk with the Lord, salvation doesn't cost you anything. But to walk with him will always cost you something. And the reason why it will always cost you something is because this notion that we're supposed to come to Christ and remain the same people is ridiculous. Nobody gets to come to Jesus and be the same person that they were after they come to Jesus. There's one thing that has to happen in every believer's life. It's unfortunate that we put a lot of pressure on these preachers. We expect them to be different. But I would say whatever rules you got for the preacher, them the same rules you got for yourself. Because the truth is, no one gets to stay the same. We all have to face this one word that none of us want to do, and it's called change. Nobody wants to change. I don't want to change. I was just looking for my phone because I didn't want it to ring while I was up here, and I still couldn't find it. But I lost my phone. I went on a little vacation and lost my phone, and I got frustrated looking for it. So I finally, it hit my brain, why don't you do the Find My iPhone? But I had already went back to the hotel. So when I got to the hotel, I did it, and I saw that my phone was in the middle of the street. So I drove about 25 minutes to find my phone. I found the case and the glass, but the silver part was all, it was gone. So I did the erase on Find My iPhone, and I called my wife, and I told her, I said, I'm going to be stuck with no phone for a few days. If you want to call me, you got to FaceTime me on my iPad, whatnot, and we'll talk. And she was like, are you worried about your phone? I said, I'm not worried about it. Wasn't nothing but an iPhone 6. I'm not concerned about it. I get me one when I get home. And so I got home, and I showed my wife the case, and I threw away the glass, but I showed her the case. I said, look, I still got my case. And my wife was like, hey, baby, I've been on the internet. I've been looking for a phone for you. And she was like, I was like, well, what phone is it? She was like, oh, it's a 12. I said, I don't want that mess. She was like, but honey, this is your chance to get you a new phone, get a little favor. I don't want that. I went out in the street and found my iPhone 6 case, and I'm putting another iPhone 6 in this case. Now, I don't have a problem with Mr. Jobs and whoever owns Apple at this point in time with the iPhone 12. I only want an iPhone 6 for one reason, not even because it was cheap. Don't want to change. That's all. Nothing, just don't want to change. And I did go and found me a $110 iPhone 6 on eBay. And I stuck it in my iPhone 6 case. But that just goes to show you, and that's just a small example of me being extreme, not wanting to change over an iPhone. What about our bad attitudes? What about areas that we should be seeking forgiveness? What about areas of our life when we know that we did not behave the right way towards that person? What about those times? Will we change? And so it becomes very important to us to understand as believers, there is a work that you have to do. I know the Bible says in the book of James, faith without works is what? Dead. It's dead. So you're going to have to do something. And Jesus really only asked us, if you go to my next one, Jesus really only asked us to do one thing. And this is the word. This is why they were carrying the paralyzed man. It says, Jesus said, you are the what? Light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your what? Good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So in other words, other people should be affected by what you say and what you do. In other words, you're saying, I need God to take care of my grandkids and my children and my problems and my financial mess ups and my bad credit and my broken relationships. I need God to fix that, and he will. But he generally, with believers, he doesn't fix your stuff till you willing to help fix his stuff. And his stuff is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to what? To you. So there is an expectation that even when you go through and you struggle and you have problems and you have issues, you should still be carrying paralyzed people to Jesus. That in spite that you had a breakdown and your faith is really low, you still have an obligation to be the light. Listen, Peter is not showing up tomorrow. Moses is not coming back. The only way that people will see the light is through you. And we've got to carry paralyzed people to Jesus. Didn't I tell you that message was for believers? Let's go to the next scripture, that scripture. But look what happens. It says they lowered the sick man. Now these four men, they carry this guy up on a roof. They get him on a roof. They listen and they begin to cut away the tiles and they lower this man in front of Jesus. Now, I always have to say this anytime I minister this particular passage of scripture, and that is this. It is so important for you to understand that when they get this man on the roof, the only way to remember, the house is full of people, but the Bible says they lowered the man right in front of Jesus, right? So in other words, they had to listen to Jesus' voice on top of the roof before they started cutting through. I would say to you, one of the biggest things that has to happen, even as believers, when we see others going through things, and you're going through things as well, one of the things, the hardest things to do is when it's noisy around you, is to hear the voice of Jesus. And you say, well, how do I get a person and lay them right before Jesus? How do I get myself and lay myself with all the noise around me right before Jesus? I would say, get on your knees and start praying, and you'll get people and yourself right at the feet of Jesus. And so, but here's the hardest part. Now this message now switches from just believers to everybody again. Because the hardest part of what we have to do as believers, and the hardest thing that you have to do even if you don't believe when you're coming to a father, is can you take the most valuable thing or the most hurtful issue in your life and hand it over to Jesus? You say, why would you make this analogy to a valet? Because when you pull up at a valet, you do not know those people. And yet, you are willing to take the keys of a car that you just paid $400 a month on. The insurance you just paid of $100 to $300 a month, and you handed the keys to a person you don't even know. You know what else you did? You didn't ask that person what was their driving record before you handed them. Think about it. A complete stranger. You handed the keys. You're assuming this person knows how to drive a car. You're assuming they never wrecked nobody's car in the parking lot. Because I guarantee you, if they had wrecked somebody else's car and you knew it, you wouldn't hand them the keys. My point being to you is, Why is it so hard? If you would hand your keys to a valet, what makes it so difficult for you to hand your issues, your struggles, your problems, your reality to God? What is the struggle of handing what really, when he wants to help you, to him? Let's go to the next verse. I want to show you something. When Jesus sees that they laid this valuable man in front of him, the first thing that he says is, young man, your sins are forgiven. Look at what is handed to you. When you do a valet, they hand you a clean check that you have to bring that piece of paper. But when you look at the piece of paper, the paper really has no value. But it's the very thing that you need to get your car back. I need you to follow me. In other words, it appears that you handed a person the keys to your car. They handed back to you a piece of paper. But the value of the paper is just as much as the keys you just handed. Are y'all with me? What I'm saying to you, when you're handing things to the Lord to fix, and the first thing that he does for you is he says, I forgive you. I know we kind of just gloss over that. We've glossed over that I forgive you because we're not thinking how bad we've actually been. The reason why the value of this is so important that he gives forgiveness first, because it won't be the first time you get forgiveness, and it won't be the last time you're going to need forgiveness. Look at this. It says, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Now stop right there. I don't even have to go no further. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. I think they know how to throw dice. You saying, well, what does that correlate to me? Because he forgives you before you mess up, before you mess up this week. Before you walk out of this building, you get ready to go out here and do something that's far from the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. And he forgave you before you even got there and did it. That's why he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Now, I know when they was gambling, they was like, we sure know what we're doing. I know how to call 7-Eleven. This is anybody throw dice. I know how to call 7-Eleven. But when we do know better and we found ourselves far from God, what all do we need? Forgiveness. So he gave us something that we're always going to need and use our entire walk with God. Go to my next one, if you would. Like I said, it won't be the first time. It won't be the last time that you're going to need forgiveness. This is why he makes this so important before he fixes things in your life. When you know that you need him to be your forgiver, that you know you need him to accept you, then asking for things becomes just a little more simpler because he has actually washed you clean to give you whatever it is that you need. Go to my next verse. It says, but the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law said to themselves, who does he think he is? It's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he asked them, why do you question this in your heart? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? Wow. There's really a problem here because I say that we are a church that really believes in forgiveness, but we're not a church that really believes in healing. We'll come to church every week and ask God to forgive us. But we really don't think that he can get our grandson off drugs. We really believe that God forgives us, but we really have a hard time believing that he can heal a broken marriage. We really says God forgives us, but we have a hard time with that anger issue that we've been dealing with our whole lives. See, the forgiveness is not the easy part. That was the part that cost a lot of pain. He went to the cross, shed blood, was beaten for the forgiveness part. So when we think the forgiveness was the easy part, absolutely not. The easy part is the healing. The hardest part was walking through that. How do I know that that was the hardest part? Because Jesus himself cried and said, don't let this happen to me. Let this cup pass from me is what he prayed. In other words, he said, I've done all of this for them. Don't make me have to do this because this causes much pain. In other words, when you can come in here and gleefully say, Lord, forgive me, and you walk out of here smiling, but you won't trust him to heal your whole life and your whole family, there's something wrong with that picture. Because the forgiveness costs more. Go to the next one if you would. Go to the next one if you would. I already talked about that. Look at what Jesus does. He says, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, go home. And immediately everyone watched the man jump up, pick up his mat, and he went home praising God. The one thing that God has always done, if he's really your father, he will prove to you who he is. If you really, really trust him with your life, there is no way that you will not see the results of your father in your life. I love this saying because it says those who leave everything in God's hand will eventually see God's hand in everything. And that is just the truth. He will prove himself if you trust your father. He will prove himself. It won't just be you won't just run around talking about the Lord forgave me, but you know what you'll run around and say? The Lord healed my life. The Lord healed my mind. The Lord healed my family. The Lord healed my grandma. The Lord healed my cousin. The Lord helped me. The Lord strengthened me. These are the things that you will say if you trust your father. He's a real father. If you treat him like a valet. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you. And if the music team would come up. Father, I thank you. I thank you for this body of believers. And we thank you for being a true father to us. Lord, don't let us just live in the area of forgiveness. But Father, let us live in an area that is fruitful for you, that we become the lights of the world. Help us to be more in tune with what you want out of our daily lives than what we want out of our daily lives. Help us to be more like you. For those that walked in here today and maybe the weight or the burden or the struggles that they've had has just been so overwhelming, Father, I just ask that you just help them to trust you now. That they would hand those keys, literally, of their lives over to you and allow you to do with their lives what you need to do. Help us to grow in that trust. Help all of us to see and to be you more every day this week. That we will commune with you in prayer and worship, and that we will show others that you really do exist and be the light of the world. And Lord, as we do that, I know that you will add to our lives the things that are just like the impossible that we would see happen. And I just thank you for that as well. In Jesus' name we pray. And would everyone say amen?
Amen. Amen.